Welcome back to another episode of Into the 99, where we have 99 cards, because Commander's number one. I'm your host for this evening, or, well, it is this evening when we're recording. We're outside our normal area, normal time. But joining me this evening, I am joined by Slothy and Sherman. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Slothy first.
What was that?
You go first.
I'm doing well, thanks. How about you?
I'm exhausted, but it is what it is.
You seem so tense, Sherman. I can see it. You're like a spring right now.
Well, like, I'm kind of excited to talk about this deck tech just because we normally don't go in this direction. So this will be an interesting one, I think.
Because you're a degenerate, as always, right?
So, like, the thing is, like, I made this deck because I needed something that was higher power. So anyone that knows me, normally I build things that are a little bit less power or things that, you know, you could hold back on. This one, I kind of dived into a little bit of the dark magics here. So mostly because when we're at events, people tend to bring out really, really strong decks. And I'm like, hey, look, I have a jank deck here.
My book tribal.
I just get wiped out real quickly. So it was time to change that up.
Well, I'm definitely interested because, yes, you typically don't build this way whatsoever. But yeah, though, I'm doing pretty good for this week. We got some snow again.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, basically, I work from home, as everyone probably knows, and I just heard cars spinning out as they were trying to stop from a stop sign and make their way through this, like, intersection that is at an ice rink, because we got rain, and then it snowed, and then it froze.
Yeah, it was a little slick getting to work this morning, I will say.
Yeah, all you suckers had to drive. I do actually have to go out and actually clean off my car and start it. I haven't actually done that in a while.
Might be a good idea now that it's getting cooler.
Yeah. I definitely have to get out there and clean it off and get it running, and at least warm it up. And actually probably put it in my parking stall, right? Being an adult. It's currently parked out front. So, Sherman, please tell us, who are you building? Who have you built in a degenerate way, please?
So this commander is a commander I'm surprised they let, or they created. It is Saheeli, the Sun's Brilliance. Okay, it's blue and red for a 2/2 legendary creature, human artificer. For a blue and a red and a tap, you create a token that's a copy of another target creature or artifact you control, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. It gains haste, and you sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. I feel this card is broken in so many ways.
Yeah. I don't really play Izzet, but I do see that it can be really abused once you actually get some creatures out. You sent the list earlier today, and I just didn't look at it, I'll be honest, because I really like hearing about it and being surprised. Again, I don't like doing spoilers, as I prefer to open it and wonder what I find.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas. I was like, open it up and see what I find out. Oh, yeah. And with that, season's greetings, everybody.
Yeah, season's greetings, everyone.
So, where do you want to start off with your again, it's going to be an artifact deck, as I know what you like to do. And you did have some good artifact decks in the past. Like you mentioned, we had the Arms Race when we first started getting into Commander.
Yeah, so we had an Arms Race, and this is how I used to build my decks before the Arms Race got too crazy, and then I decided to go jank. just so we could tone down the arms race and people didn't have to spend like a fortune buying high powered cards. But like I said, I had to go dive into the dark magics here. And by that, I mean, there are infinite combos in this deck. I generally don't like to do infinite combos. But this one does have it because, like I said, you know, during the events and everything, people are coming up to the booth for us. They want to play a game, and it's very, very difficult to go against a deck that has like 14 or 20 different infinite combos in it. And I'm playing Book Tribal.
I don't have that many. I don't have that many counter spells.
I don't have enough counter spells. So.
All right. But so
with that, I think we should dive into this, starting with the artifacts here.
Starting with our artifacts. All right. Slothy, you taking us in? Well, I guess. Take the first two, probably.
First two? Alrighty.
Yeah, because the first one is, you know, it's going to be there.
First one, it's a staple. It's Arcane Signet. 2 mana. You can tap to add 1 mana of any color in your commander's color identity. And then we've got Basilisk Caller. 1 mana for an equipment. Equipped creature has Death Touch and Lifelink, and it has equipped for 2. I really, really like Basilisk Caller. Kind of in general.
I have one copy and I kind of bounce it around when I'm building if I think it might fit well into a deck.
Mm-hmm.
This fits well in any life gain deck, just in case you do get it, because the Death Touch really makes it, are you really going to block my 1/1 that I just want to collect my one life?
Thank you. Exactly.
Just thank you for doing business. We'll go along your way. The next one that we have is the Battle Mage Bracers, 2 and a red. It's an equipment, so equipped creature has haste, which is weird because your commander already makes them with haste. And then whenever an ability...
The commander itself doesn't have haste.
All right, that's true. Very true. Yeah. So whenever an ability of equipped creature is activated, if it isn't a mana ability, you may pay 1. If you do copy that ability, you may choose new targets for the copy, and equip is 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, so instead of 1 token, you get 2 tokens.
You know me, I like
tokens. And the next one, we all know you like tokens.
Actually, Battle Mage Bracers would go really well in a Nimpakal as well.
Yeah.
I get +2/+2 and I make 14 plus this many other gnomes.
Horrible.
I'm playing it again this weekend. The next one is a card that...
The next card is a card that Brian was complaining about before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Decanter of Endless Water. For 3 mana, you have no maximum hand size, and you tap it to add 1 mana of any color. So, Brian, what's your beef with this color, with this card?
I just haven't been able... They're sold out, and I wasn't playing when Baldur's Gate came out.
Yeah,
it's such a feel-bad. The abilities, it's just great.
It's crazy how good this card is, that it's a $2 common. Printed in the last 2 years, and you can't find them anywhere.
It's a great card.
Yeah, very angry.
Next one we've got is the Illusionist Bracers. 2 mana for an equipment. Whenever an ability of equipped creature is activated, if it isn't a mana ability, copy that ability, and you may choose new targets for the copy, and it has equipped for 3. Same kind of thing as with Battle Mage's Bracers.
Yeah, it's like an auto-include if you're really focusing on those abilities going off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of was like, we did Brewing It Live with Sephiroth. And we really, instead of going down this route with the equipments and everything and trying to trigger them multiple times that way, we went with having the Dominuses for doubling the ETBs and the death triggers. So I really enjoyed it that way, that you can take these decks in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the idea that you make a token copy, and then if you have untapped shenanigans, then you do it again. Oh, I'm picking up on what you're putting down now. See, I'm not that dumb.
There you go.
You got there.
Hi, my name's Brian.
He gets there eventually.
and then I need more of these. I'm pretty sure I was dumb and sold one. But Lightning Greaves, 2 colorless, equipped creature has Shroud and Haste, and equipped 0. And I'm just going to sneak in and take this next one, too. Liquid Metal Coating, 2 colorless, it's an artifact. You tap it, target permanent becomes an artifact in addition to its other types until end of turn. So good.
Yeah, and that also goes along with the Liquid Metal Torque, which is for 2 mana. You can tap it for a colorless, or you can tap it, and same thing, target non-land permanent becomes an artifact in addition to its other types until end of turn.
I've been adding this in just as a mana rock.
You're weird.
It's a great card.
It is a very good card. It is a 2-mana mana rock, yeah.
Even though it's a colorless, you might get your colors and stuff like that, right? But this is going to still help you cast your cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both Coding and Torque were powerhouses in my mono blue Doomsday deck back in the day.
So terrible.
It really was.
But
I like the Torque a lot due to the fact that if you're in red or something like that where removing enchantments is difficult, but removing artifacts is easy. You just make it into an artifact and you just remove it that way.
Yeah.
That's really good.
But this goes well in this deck because you can make something that's an enchantment or something like that into an artifact if need be, or something else that you guys will see later on.
Now I'm wondering what you're what you're cheating with.
Next one we've got here is Mindstone, 2 mana. You can tap it for colorless or pay 1 and tap it to sacrifice and draw a card.
Still one of the good mana rocks that I usually run. And this card right here, Mirage Mirror, I think I still have to thank Daniel for showing this to me. So it's 3 colorless. And you can pay 2, and then Mirage Mirror becomes a copy of target, artifact, creature, or enchantment, or land until end of turn. It's so good to just be able to, I'm very jealous of that card. I now have one.
Dark Depths Shenanigans.
The next one
Dark Depths Shenanigans.
No Dark Depths in this deck, unfortunately.
Oh.
Although I could. But I decided not to.
That
the next
would
one
work.
Is Mystic Forge. Sorry?
I said that would work, too.
It would. The next thing is Mystic Forge. For 4 mana, okay, artifact, you may look at the top card of your library at any time. May cast artifact spells and colorless spells from the top of your library. You can tap it, pay 1 life, exile the top card of your library.
Solid.
You and your weird artifacts. Obviously, we have our soul ring. Tap for 2 mana for 1. Add Swiftfoot Boots. I'll take the other boots as well, because I need more fancy boots. 2 colorless, another equipment. This creature has Hexproof and Haste, and it's equip 1. The better boots, in my honest opinion.
Depends what you're going for, I think.
Agreed.
And the last artifact we've got here is the Samurai Starfish Thought Vessel. Two mana, you have no maximum hand size, and you can tap it for colorless.
You guys are so weird. It doesn't look like that.
It absolutely does, I promise you.
I have a an awesome looking locket from the Doctor Who.
Oh.
So I'm not gonna put that image into anyone's head.
Where would you like to go to next?
Creatures is probably the bulk of the fun. So let's go with that real fast here. Oh, not fast, but let's go through that, and I'll explain things along the way.
But we can, if that's the bulk of the fun, let's hit up the Planeswalkers, Sorceries, and Enchantments. There's only not even a handful there.
All right, well, let's hit the Planeswalkers real fast then, because we have three Planeswalkers here. So I'll start with it. Chandra, Awakened Inferno. 4 red. Okay. This spell cannot be countered. It comes in with 6 loyalty, a +2. Each opponent gets an emblem with, at the beginning of your upkeep, this emblem deals 1 damage to you. At -3, Chandra Awakened Inferno deals 3 damage to each non-elemental creature. And -X, Chandra Awakened Inferno deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker. If a permanent dealt damage this way, would die this turn, exiled instead. So, remember the liquid metal torque and the liquid metal coating?
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually interact with the emblems?
No, but you can make copies of the planeswalkers and their artifacts.
What?
It doesn't matter. It's a permanent. I choose a planeswalker. I make it an artifact.
Mm-hmm.
I copy it. Now you get 2 emblems instead of 1.
I love it.
All right. That's.
I don't
like it, but all right.
The next planeswalker we've got is Duretti Scrap Savant. 3 red for a 3 loyalty legendary planeswalker Duretti, +2 to discard up to 2 cards, then draw that many. -2, sacrifice an artifact. If you do, return target artifact card from your graveyard to the battlefield. -10, you get an emblem with, whenever an artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, return that card to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step, and Duretti can be your commander.
When you make a copy, though, you don't get the loyalty tokens that are on it, right? They would technically start off at the bottom.
Like, what do you mean? Like, it cannot come in with 0 loyalty.
No, but would it come in with its original loyalty, not whatever it already has?
Yes, it would come in with its original loyalty.
Oh, okay. And then the last planeswalker that we have here is one that I always heard is like a nightmare. Everyone complains about it. So we have Karn, Scion of Urza. The +1 is reveal the top 2 cards of your library. An opponent chooses one of them. Put that card in, this is so small. Put that card into your hand and then exile the other with a silver counter on it or sliver counter. And then -1
silver counter.
Okay, silver counter on it. And then -1, put a card you own with a silver counter on it. From exile into your hand, so you can actually play your exiled cards. That's interesting. And then -2 is create a 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token with this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control, and it comes in with 5. Gross. Yeah, so
it's a pretty strong planeswalker here.
So it can come in with a blocker right off the bat, and this is primarily an artifact deck, so that blocker is going to be huge.
Yeah. So, and then we'll jump into sorceries real fast here. Sorceries are real easy. So first one here is a Cathartic Reunion. So 1 red. At an additional cost to cast this spell, discard 2 cards, and you draw 3 cards.
I always sit there like, I want to kind of build how you you do this, but you're like, I draw two, I bin one, I draw three. Like, you always have, like, whenever, like, you need to get to an answer, you just do. Like, you always have all of these cards that you're able to top deck manipulate, and it's really fun seeing you try to find that win con. And but I can never do this. Like, all these cards, I don't know any of these besides the Faithless Looting, only due to the bad art.
Yeah, you like your play style, you hate discarding cards. I don't mind discarding cards because I'm using the graveyard as a resource. So if I'm discarding something that's like an artifact where I know I can bring it back, then I don't care. So, because it's just fueling me even more. So the Cathartic Reunion is more like drawing five cards in a sense, like because I'm discarding two, so they go into the graveyard. So those two are in reserve in a sense,
So,
and then I draw three
Batu
cards. If you can, but like most of the time, even if you do that, I don't care.
Kabod.
I just pretend that I wouldn't have drawn those cards in the game at all, right? So it, I have no hurt feelings for that.
Touche. Take it away.
Oh, go ahead.
The next card that we do have is Chart a Course. One and a blue. Draw two cards, then discard a card unless you attacked with a creature this turn.
Then rounding it out, we've got the Faithless Looting, red, draw two, discard two, and it has flashback for two and a red.
See, this art, well, I don't know, you guys, I don't know what artwork you guys have, but the one that I have, they're actually looting in this, which is fantastic.
You used the one that has the horrible artwork. I think I've over the course of playing it with you, I've given you like four different Faithless Lootings just so you can rip up that stupid artwork.
I think I traded it, and now I don't have it anymore. Or it's somewhere in bulk boxes. I definitely don't play it, or I don't think I have it. And I guess we'll quickly jump over because you only have two enchantments here. I see one that's going to definitely be a problem, but I'll start off with Goblin Bombardment, which is one and a red. Sacrifice a creature. Goblin Bombardment deals one damage to target creature or player. That's still a problem right there, but not as big of a problem.
Off, you want to take this other one?
Sure. Then we've got Intruder Alarm, two and a blue. Creatures don't untap during their controller's untap step. Whenever a creature comes into play, untap all creatures.
So, Intruder Alarm, I'll tell you guys right now, is one of the keys to this deck. It basically helps it go infinite in so many different ways. It's stupid.
Well, you can constantly pay, as long if you get infinite mana, you can constantly pay your commander, which creates a token which untaps, and then creates another token which untaps.
They all have haste.
Gross. You're
So you
just
can
like
literally make a
reproducing
million.
like a machine gun or like a rabbit.
Yeah.
You have created your factory and you're now outputting whatever you want to output at this point in time.
So if anyone faces this commander and they drop Intruder Alarm,
Kill it with fire.
do whatever you can to remove it. It is a huge key to the deck. It is the game winner. It is like the win con. Okay.
Makes enough sense.
So yeah, and you guys will see this in the creatures why this is the win con.
So we can either do the creatures or we have the instance.
Honestly, I think creatures would be better here
All
than
right.
the instance just because it'll explain some of the reasoning behind some of the instance.
That's fair.
So take it away, Sherman.
So we're going to start off with my favorite type of tribe, which is the Mirrors. Starting with Alloy Mirror. So it is 3 mana for 2/2, and you tap it to add one mana of any color to your mana pool.
I really enjoyed Mirrodin when it first came out, because that was like the first time I really saw enchantment creatures as something. Everything was an artifact in that, so it was really interesting to see. But then I'm pretty sure I stopped playing like right after it, because it was, I think, Theros and then Kamigawa. Did really not enjoy Kamigawa.
The next creature we've got is Anger. 3 and a red for a 2/2 incarnation with haste. As long as it is in your graveyard and you control a mountain, creatures you control have haste.
So once again, we have mana dorks. And we have cards. We have spells that cause us to discard and draw cards. Mm-hmm. This just helps it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one I have, and I actually really want to build a deck with it, because I have one of the really nice fancy art ones, like the halo foiling on it. But we have Brutaclad, Telcor Engineer for a blue and a red, Phyrexian Artificer. Creature tokens you control have haste. At the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 2/1 blue Phyrexian Mirror artifact creature token. Then you may choose a token you control. If you do, each other token you control becomes a copy of that token.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. And that owl has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Wrong.
This is an interesting card. So, because it lets you you can make copies of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gross.
A token. So, let's say I have
Chandra's?
Yes. So, if you want 20 Chandra's and you want to give everyone 20 emblems,
I love it.
That's fantastic, because I wanted to abuse her emblems and Mogus like so. That's so funny. I like it.
It's stupid. The chances of it happening are very, very, very slim. We are looking at the ceiling, but it is funny.
Oh, I think I always put in cards.
Literally, the only reason why I have Chandra in here.
Let's see, I put in cards that are like that. Like, I think this will be funny if it actually fires, and I'll leave them in there.
Yeah, 100%.
So the next one we have is Captivating Crew for 3 and a red. Human Pirate, 4/3. For 3 and a red, gain control of target creature an opponent controls until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn. Activate this ability only anytime you could cast a sorcery. So like I said, we have a chance of going infinite mana here.
I hate you.
If I have infinite mana, I can steal infinite amount of things.
I really hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I will...
You, dark magic.
Dan will enjoy it, but he also really hates the stuff stolen. I found out that way. I took his lands. He wasn't very happy.
I'm going to take the next three because they all do an incredibly similar thing.
Sure.
First one, Enthusiastic Mechanaut, blue and a red for a 2/2 artifact creature, goblin artificer with flying. Artifact spells you cast cost one less. Then we've got Ethereum Sculptor, one or blue for a 1/2 artifact creature, Vedalken Artificer. Artifact spells you cast cost one less. And then Foundry Inspector, 3 mana for a 3/2 artifact creature construct. Artifact spells you cast cost one less to cast.
Once again, staying on theme, we have a lot of artifacts.
Artifacts, like, that's the one thing that I think artifacts have over probably every other tribe, is they have so many items that are able to reduce their cost.
And we know Wizards did that on purpose, just because most of the time artifacts can go on any deck, so it just makes it more versatile that way. So, and
true,
we're abusing it just because blue has like a lot of reductions for artifacts and a lot of support for artifacts, and we're just abusing that here.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
So the next one, I guess, is mine, right? So we have Glen Alendra, the Archmage, 3 and a blue, fairy wizard, flying, 2/2. But you can pay one and you can sacrifice Glen Alendra, Archmage, and you can counter non-creature spell. Like, I always run this when I do play a blue deck, if I have one around.
Yeah, and it has persist as well. So, but the key here is that you make a copy of Glen Alendra.
Then you don't have to use Glen Alendra. And then you sacrifice
that copy. So you never really lose it, even though it has persist. You never really kind of lose it. You just create another copy of Glen Alendra.
Ooh.
And then
it would come back. Do you actually have to sacrifice it at the end of turn? Because that stipulation would be gone, right? With that instance of the token?
So the token, once it goes, hits the graveyard, it goes away.
It wouldn't come back with the persist, though?
If you have Intruder Alarm out. Sorry?
Never mind. I'm being dumb with the token rules. I thought it would still come back with the persist.
No, it wouldn't come back. So, but once again, Intruder Alarm, if it's out with this out, you're tapping your Mana Dorks, you're tapping Saheeli, you're creating a Glen Alendra token. Everything untaps. You sacrifice Glen Alendra, counter that spell, and then you have everything open to counter another spell if need be.
Oh, that's okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down. But token lives matter.
If you have,
they should come back.
So if you have enough stuff out, you can counter virtually every single non-creature spell that comes out.
You know you're not a nice person sometimes.
I told you, this is what I used to build, and we stopped building this way for a reason.
You should know better.
I needed a high-powered deck.
No, this is exactly how you used to play it. Like, so me and Sherman used to play at work when we worked together, and actually we were playing Modern at the time, before we really got into Commander, and he just always had he ran the off-color counters in his deck, so I was like, just get out of here. Just black counters. And I was just, no, not down for this. I'm sitting here playing Baubles. But please take away the next card, someone. Enough of my tangent.
It's my turn, sorry. That's my bad. Next one is Herald of Kozilek. 1 blue red for an Eldrazi drone. It has Devoid, and it's a 2/4. Colorless spells you cast cost one less to cast. So once again, we're just trying to play our stuff for free.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Then we've got the Iron Mirror, 2 mana for a 1/1 artifact creature mirror. You can tap to add red to your mana pool.
So many mana dorks. And then we have Joyrous Familiar for colorless. artifact, creature, bird, flying, historic spells you cast cost one less to cast. There's so many mana reductions in here.
Yeah. And you'll see the reason why in an instant.
All right.
So, the next one is going to be a Gyro, Weatherlight Captain, for 2 blue and a red. Human Artificer for 3/3. Whenever you cast a historic spell, draw a card.
I already hit you for the next card.
Slothy, you want to take it then?
Yeah, I love this card. We've got Memnarch, 7 mana for a 4/5 legendary artifact creature wizard. 1 blue-blue, target permanent becomes an artifact in addition to its other types. And 3 and a blue, gain control of target artifact. One of my favorite parts about this card is that neither of those abilities cause him to tap.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's like the liquid metal torque, like, or the, and the coating, like he doesn't actually have to pay the man to make his stuff or makes things artifacts.
And with like infinite mana, you're once again stealing everything.
Yeah, that's very true.
Including lands.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's disgusting. after the disgusting Memnarch there, we do have Mirror Galvanizer, which is 3 colorless. Another mirror, but other mirror creatures you control get +1/+1. You can pay 1 to tap it to untap each other mirror you control. That.
Yeah. So Mirror Galvanizer is famous for going infinite with other mirrors, because if you have 2 Mirror Galvanizers, they untap each other basically. So you tap 1 to untap the other one, and you tap 1 to untap the other one, and then all your mirror mana dorks will untap. So Healy basically makes a second copy for you.
Okay.
So same thing with Mirage Mirror.
Should have just thrown in a Maskwood Nexus in here. Everything's a mirror.
But we don't care about that, right? We just care about making things that are mana dorks, and most of our mana dorks are already mirrors anyways.
I care, Sherman. I care. Please, that's the next one.
With
here.
That, we also have the Mirror Propagator for 3 mana. It's a 1/1 mirror. 3 mana, and you tap it, and you put a token that's a copy of the Mirror Propagator onto the battlefield.
Oh.
So it just makes more and more and more and more copies of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, infinite mana. You make 1, which makes... So then you have 2, which they untap with Intruder Alarm. And then you tap 6, and then you make 4. And then, you're going to get off to the races.
Like I said, you can go infinite many, many ways with this deck. It is not a happy deck to play against.
I don't know why you're destroying my Friday night with this deck. I'm gonna be very angry at the end of this.
It gets worse.
Oh, I don't like hearing that.
The next one we've got is Mirror Retriever. 2 mana for a 1/1 mirror. When it dies, return another target artifact from your graveyard to your hand.
It's a staple in an artifact deck. Then the next one that we have, I actually do use in a few. We got Padim, Council of Innovation, 3 and a blue, legendary creature, Vedalken Artificer. Artifacts you control have hexproof. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you control the artifact with the highest converted mana cost on the field, or tied for the highest converted mana cost, draw a card. And it's 1/4. With the best flavor text. Impress me.
Ryan, are you impressed with this deck text so far?
No. Not at all.
The beautiful thing with Padim as well is, like, even with the planeswalkers and enchantments, if you have the ability to make them into an artifact,
they're the highest CMC.
Yeah, you know, they'll have the hexproof, or you'll have the highest.
Ooh, that's nice evasion. That is nice evasion. or protection.
Yeah. So, the next card is going to be Palladium Mirror. I cannot speak! Palladium Mirror. For 3 mana, it's a 2/2. You tap, it's a mirror, and you tap it to add 2 colors mana.
It's not bad. I'm actually going to go through my bulk here, because that came out of the Commander Master set.
That's been in a bunch.
I have a few copies there.
So I might have to see if I can get one. I think I only need one or two.
Also, you mentioned how this gets worse. I just saw how it gets worse, and I love you.
Oh, I guess the next is the next card mine, or is that yours, Slothy? You can take this one away.
You take it, Slothy.
Here, we got Perplexing Chimera, 4 and a blue for a 3/3 enchantment creature Chimera. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may exchange control of Perplexing Chimera and that spell. If you do, you may choose new targets for the spell.
That, so, I always feel like I'm getting held hostage with it, and then I just force play cards. And in all honesty, Dustin let me win in one of the games. He had Perplexing Chimera out, and I think I threw down like the white Ixalan God, which triples your art or your tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah, and I was like, oh, thank you. I was like, please don't. This will be funny.
Brian, think of this, okay? With Perplexing Chimera, let's say you try to cast Swords. I create a copy of Perplexing Chimera. You get my token. I get your swords. And then now there's 2 Perplexing Chimeras out. Let's say now Slothy wants to like Beast Within. Like Intruder Alarm. Okay. Now it comes down to who has priority. Do you want to take it or do I want to take it first?
Oh, man.
It is a stacks nightmare.
Just let the turn go, and then the token has to die anyways.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's some spice with that next one here. We got Plague Mirror, 2 colorless, infect, tap to add 1 colorless, since 1/1. You gonna infect some people here, Sherman? Is that what's gonna go on here?
Maybe. Especially if you create a bunch of copies of it.
All of my tokens become 1/1 Plague Mirrors? Or what am I? Brood of Clyde's a 4/4, right? 2/1, sorry.
2/1. But like less if we use the Healy to make a Plague Mirror copy. Now I have a token copy of Plague Mirror. And Brood of Clyde can make whatever tokens into more Plague Mirror tokens.
Yeah.
You love it.
No. One thing, you love it. One I think could be really good in here too, for a bit of extra punch, would be something like Sundial of the Infinite.
Oh yeah. I did not include that. I did not include a few things. Like there's so many things that you could do. Like even Sensei's Divining Top makes you go through your whole deck instantly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not that greasy. I'm greasy, but I'm not that greasy.
Fair.
I'm just trying to think of like what I would even recommend. I said I don't even know what I would even be able to recommend for this. I don't think I have any recommendations so far. Other than tear it apart.
Like the top thing that most people would put in for this, in all honesty, would be Sensei's Divining Top. Just because all you have to do is have that one. Yeah. So, but it is what it is. So I did not include that for very, very obvious reasons. the next card, let's move on here before we break Brian's brain here.
Those are all evil people. Next card is
Scrap Trawler. For 3 mana, it's a 3/2. is a construct. Whenever Scrap Trawler or another artifact you control is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, return to your hand target artifact card in your graveyard with less mana value. So keyword here is less mana value. So you got to watch out for that. But the tokens do count. Because if I make a copy of Bruticlad,
we learned that in a game.
So I can bring something back that's 5 CMC or less.
Mm-hmm.
I think we actually called the store to inquire upon that ruling. Do tokens inherit the CMC?
And they do.
Then we've got Shimmermere. 3 mana for a 2/2 mirror with flash, and you may cast artifact spells as though they had flash.
This another one's a really great one.
In this kind of deck.
100%. And then we got the Silver Mirror, 2 colorless for a mirror 1/1. Tap to add a blue mana to your mana pool.
And then we have one of my favorite cards, Spellskite. For 2 mana, it's a 0/4. A Phyrexian Horror. For you can pay either 2 life or you can pay blue for it. And you can change the target of target spell or ability to Spellskite. So more the stupid thing is stuff. Using this... Sorry?
Is that more protection for your stuff?
1 protection, 2... to piss people off, because let's say you want to use a fetch land.
Oh, you're mean. You're mean. I go and find a land.
Yeah, but I can't because Spellskite
won't
let me. It just takes the ability, like, okay, Spellskite, you search for it, but you can't. So you just pay 2 life to stop it.
Spellskite chooses this card or this deck. It's in a sleeve up now.
This next one is a card I really want to build a deck around. We've got the Reality Chip, 1 and a blue for a 0/4 legendary artifact creature, equipment jellyfish. You may look at the top card of your library at any time, and as long as Reality Chip is attached to a creature, you may play lands and cast spells from the top of your library, and it has reconfigure for 2 and a blue.
We're just gonna
like use it to abuse top decking here, mm-hmm. get 2 cards that we need, or cast things off the top of our deck. Most of the time, they're gonna be artifacts. So,
I think I was here for the pre-release, or because I remember seeing this card. I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but it looked pretty neat, and I quite enjoyed it.
Mm.
The next,
I love Reality Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brian. This is a fun one.
Oh, it's in the new set. Okay, so I've got to keep an eye out and see if I have one of these, maybe. We got Time Stream Navigator, 1 and a blue, Human Pirate Wizard. We got Ascend, 2 and 2 blue to tap it. Put Time Stream Navigator on the bottom of its owner's library. Take an extra turn after this one. Only activate if you have the City's Blessing.
This deck feels like it's a repeat.
Pardon?
Sorry? No, I was going to say, so with Time Stream Navigator, you never use it for itself.
Yeah.
You always make a fucking copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got it, Sherman. I see what you're doing here. You're worse than Dustin with your infinite turns.
People know.
You've been hanging out with Dustin too much lately with his extra turn stuff. All right, so that's the creatures. Now we got apparently the instances are going to be good here. Are you starting us off there, Sherman?
Let's start off with good old classic Blue Sun's Zenith. For an X blue, 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 target player draws X cards and you shuffle Blue Sun's Zenith into its owner's library.
And that's me, so, right? Target Brian well, draws?
But I don't think you want it to be in this case, Brian.
I'll draw out. I'm fine with that. Then the next one that we do have here is Catalog. 2 and a blue. Draw 2 cards, then discard a card. Again, this is exactly how Sherman plays.
Then we've got Chaos Warp. 2 and a red. The owner of target permanent shuffles it into their library, then reveals the top card of their library, and if it's a permanent, they put it onto the battlefield.
Then you got your classic counter spell for blue-blue. Just counter target spell.
And then we have Fact or Fiction. 3 and a blue. Reveal the top 5 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards from into 2 piles, then puts 1 pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard. I do enjoy that. I typically always, though, just throw it into 1 pile and go have at it.
It's a nice political card because of that, you know, because if, you know, you need to get an answer for someone, you just choose someone that's on your side and be like, okay. And then, like, in this case, like, yeah, Brian, you know, like, you and me versus Slothy. Just help me out here. And then if you put all 5 cards in 1 pile, I'm taking all 5, right? So.
Then we've got our Frantic Search. 2 and a blue. Draw 2, discard 2, untap up to 3 lands.
And then we have one of our protection cards. Urkel's Recall, 1 and a blue. Return all artifacts target player owns to his or her hand. So once again, with all of our reduction, worst comes to worst.
1 blue.
We just recall everything and cast them off for free, hopefully.
That's actually a nice card, and it's just, it's, it looks old. Have they reprinted that, or...?
It originally came out in like 3rd edition, I think.
I feel like $1.79 seems cheap. Times.
Yeah, the last reprint was Modern Masters 2.
Okay, so it has had a recent. Then we do have Narset's Reversal, so that's 2 blue to copy target instant or sorcery spell. Then return it to its owner's hand. You may choose new targets for the copy.
You don't see this card that often anymore.
No.
No.
But it's still so good.
Then we've got, I don't know if I've ever actually seen that art for it, but we've got Negate. 1 and a blue, counter-target non-creature spell.
And then we have Paradoxical Outcome. 3 and a blue, return any number of target non-land, non-token permanents you control to their owner's hand. Draw a card for each card returned to your hand this way. Once again, with all the reductions that we have, if we return 6 artifacts, let's say, and they're all for free to cast, while we're drawing 6 cards, we drop those 6 artifacts back down again, and we basically have a brand new hand.
True.
Fair.
Especially if you have token copies of all of your reduction and everything like that, because they all stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know whose turn it is, but I'll take the Pongify. I always enjoy making things into chimps. So we got 1 blue, destroy target creature. It can't be regenerated. Its controller creates a 3/3 green ape creature token. He looks so angry. I wonder what he was prior.
Then we've got Pull from Tomorrow. X double blue, draw X cards, then discard a card.
Always nice. Love the card draw, as you guys can see.
Yeah.
We also have Rapid Hibernization for a blue. Destroy target creature. It can't be regenerated. That creature's controller creates a 3/3 green frog lizard creature token.
Love it. And then we got Rebuild, which is 2 and a blue. Return all artifacts to their owner's hands, cycling for 2. This is almost like what I like for my enchantments stuff. I have one that return all from their graveyard and bounce them and stuff like that. I like it.
Then we've got Retract, a single blue. Return all artifacts you control to their owner's hand.
That's cheap. That's 5th mm-hmm. Dawn, too, isn't it?
Darksteel.
Sorry. It's gone down in price. This used to be like $8 to $12 card, so it's gone down in price recently.
Foil's still $13, really, apparently. Really great.
What? The version I'm looking at is cheap.
Oh yeah, it's the normal one's $2.99 non-foil and $13.99 for the foil.
Yeah.
Foils are always better.
And then, last but not least, we have Tragic Lesson. 2 and a blue. Draw 2 cards, then discard a card unless you return a land you control to its owner's hand.
Is that Kaikar?
Depends on which version you're looking at. It might be Kefnet.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I forgot he was a bird person.
Yeah.
I really, really like this. Then,
yeah.
I don't.
This is, like I said, this is normally not the way that we build. It is a very salty deck. I decided to bring down the salt level a little bit by not including things like Sensei's Divining Top. But once again, it is
Sensei's Divining Top is really salt card. Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't understand why, but all right.
Because of the things that Sherman wants to do with it.
I guess so. All right. I'll take that answer. Very true.
And this deck is incredibly budget as well.
$151, yeah.
It's stupid how strong you can be with something like this for that price. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, if your playgroup doesn't mind infinite combos, or if you personally don't mind infinite combos, this is a really, really strong build because, you basically stop everyone from playing, hence why it's so salty. Okay, you can basically infinite mana, infinite counter spells, infinite turns. It's really stupid.
It seems that way. No, but like you mentioned, it's for those higher powered games. This isn't for your casual. This is for we got enough time for one game. Are we playing a higher power game? Sure. Or like you mentioned when we're at the events, I only brought this one deck with me. It is my higher powered deck. And then you're like, all right, because it is good to have when we are at the events and things like that, or when you do come to have maybe, I would say, 3 if you can, because then you can say low, medium, high, so that way you can fit into most pods, because that I think that's the main thing. You just want to be able to fit in some shape or manner able to, because I guess for me, I want everybody else to be enjoying the game that I'm enjoying as well. So I try to play for the fun. So go for the big fun plays instead of the strategic throat jab.
That's fair, yeah.
And yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, I want to build this. I will build this. But
well, it's I got just the commander for you.
Occasions where I need something that's high power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's good to have. I found out that my Gave deck, or we are calling him Guave, he, like, it's known for being like a CDH kind of commander, or like it can be really quick with combos. I didn't even think of it going into it that you can really manipulate the. I just built as a +1/+1 counter deck, thinking I'll do some fun things.
Yeah, it just comes down to your mentality of how you want to build the commander, right? Like we could totally build Saheeli where it's nothing close to this, still have fun, and go from there, right? But once again, I need something that's high power. All my stuff is kind of, you know, mid-tier and all that stuff. It's basically built around
Jank. So they're not a seven, right, is what you're saying?
Everything's a seven, let's face it. But no, like, seriously, like, this deck is, like, it's demoralizing at times. And, like, you know, we can put in things that are even worse. Like, this is a budget deck.
That's still, true. Just there could have, like, been fast mana, too.
Yeah. You could totally ramp this up, make it even stronger. Like I said, like Sensei to Binding Top is definitely an add if you want to improve it. You can take out like Basilisk Collar and throw that in. You know, the curve, mana curve on this is low.
Yeah, sure,
you
know? Is.
If you, yeah, like you can do so many stupid things with this commander. It's just, this is just fun. In my opinion, because you can try to go for the stupid win of, hey, everyone who gets 20 Chandra emblems, have fun. I don't care if you guys kill me now.
That, I would laugh. I would be laughing as I picked up my cards. Because that is funny. That is that big play that I would go for. Like, hey, if I just hold myself for another couple turns, I can maybe make 20 Chandras. Let's go. I'm going to try to have those big fun plays. But yeah, like you mentioned, the mana curve is low. So the average mana value of your main deck is 1.8 with lands or 2.78 without lands. This deck's total mana value is 178. While I was building with Brady last night doing Brewing It Live, and he thought we were going to be like 200 and something like that. And like ended up being probably like 180 something. Still was good. He thought it was going to be stupid high with CMC. I was like, nah, don't worry about it. Mana dorks. Don't worry. Mana dorks. Yeah. I was like, don't worry about that little guy. But yeah, this is going to play. You can probably keep a 2-land or 1-land hand and be able to draw in and play the cards. You're running 35 lands. That's more than one for every two. You probably have one or two left over from the cut, but
yeah, and we only have that many lands because we want to make sure our opening hand is decent. I'm the kind of person, like, you guys know me, I don't care if you mulligan, like, 20 times, 30 times, as long as you're not going for that god hand, as long as you have a playable hand, I don't care. But I hold myself, to a different standard for that, right? I want to make sure that I'm not doing the mulligans. I want to make sure that I have a playable hand the first time I draw. And at the same time, since we're drawing so many cards, sometimes when you draw the extra land, it makes a very, very easy decision to discard, which makes the games go faster. Okay. Because if I'm drawing nothing but gas, then I'm going to spend like what, like a minute, 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes trying to decide what to discard.
Yeah.
Then everybody already hates me. Why do I want them to hate me even more when I take 10 minutes on my turn?
Do you know what's a bit funny? Right. I know that you're
already
like,
taking infinite turns. I already have infinite mana.
What would have been super funny? Because I know like the other kind of decks that you play, you run like the whenever I cast instant or sorcery, it pings for one damage, or whenever I do this, it pings for two, like stuff like that. I make all of my tokens into these pinging creatures, and then I pay a bunch of spells, and it's 5 or 8 damage for every spell that I play. That could have been funny too. Spell kind of spell slinger, token creation.
Yeah. Like, so Healy allows you to go in so many different directions. It, like, don't get me wrong, it is a great commander because it's so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think they should have made this commander because it's so broken. Like, you're choosing colors where you can abuse the tap and untap mechanics so easily.
Well, it's think about
stupid.
It.
Stupid. Like, if they made it... Sorry?
I was going to say, think about it. They made Urza Prince of Krug. So he's a 4 CMC commander to bring him out. And he costs 6 to create a token copy. You get to keep it at the end of the day, yeah. But if you look at it, she's half of his original starting CMC. Her ability's a third of his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a straight upgrade, but not the colors that I like to play.
And that's the thing. Like, in blue-red, since you're turning through your hand so quickly and drawing so many cards, they're just looking for those specific answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you want to speed this up, throw in tutors.
Yep.
By all means, go Mystic ahead. There's tutor. So many artifact tutors out there. But at the same time, you don't need it. Like, if we have infinite mana, you really don't need it.
True.
And yeah. There are so many different ways to win in this deck. It's stupid. And that's...
Like, I've seen a lot.
Yeah. You guys know me. I like having more than one win con. Some people have one win con. I like having like a dozen different mm-hmm. ways to win. You know?
Yep.
So, in that way, it's like, okay, like, I'm not sitting there and be like, oh, like, I don't have my win con anymore because someone got rid of it. It's exiled. I'm, you know, now I'm just like out of the game basically, no matter what happens. No, I hate that feeling. I want to win. And if you destroy plan A and plan B and C and D and E and F and G, I'm going to go to plan A.
Gouge your eyes.
8, 9.
No, I always say, I really enjoy how your brain works, how you look at cards and build them. I'm never let down with any of your decks. They always seem fun. And I guess this is what happens when a fun brain is used for evil. He typically makes song decks and decks about books, but he made a abomination here. But no, I really enjoy it, and I do appreciate you that actually coming up with a high powered deck for us, and again one that is,
and like I said,
budget.
Yeah, and like I said, like, we normally don't do these kind of decks, but given the circumstances where you guys needed help and I went to the event to help you guys out, you know, and, you know, I'm sitting down playing against people that have very, very high powered commander decks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I cannot compete against them. I had to change it up.
Like Slothy's we lizard, don't get me wrong. We have slivers.
People that bring, we have, we have people that bring in fun decks, jank decks, things that they just love and enjoy, you know. But
and then you have Slothy.
What's that supposed to mean?
Slivers, Slothy, slivers is what it means.
Nothing wrong with slivers. I agree. And I still maintain that Chaos Warp you cast on my little mana sliver.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
100% deserved.
That was funny. But you understand why I targeted it.
Oh, 100% I do. 100% I understand. All right,
good.
I just thought that was a hilarious sequence of events.
It was, and then I rued the day that I Chaos Warped.
And this is why we kill you first.
I understand.
Every single time.
I understand. But
it's like, Sloppy was the problem. You made it worse. Now Sloppy is not the problem because we all hate you.
I can get
now
it.
Now Brian's the problem.
I can get it. I have that ability. But yeah, no, I really enjoy the deck, and I'm really sure the listeners and everyone are going to enjoy it as well. I haven't actually seen anything for this so far on like in social media or anything, so we'll have to see what some others have built with it. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in for this episode of Into the 99. We really do appreciate you guys listening in each week. We do hope that you enjoyed this episode on Saheeli, the Sun Brilliance, the degeneracy brain of Sherman, the degenerate baby of Sherman. And he didn't use any expensive cards, but if you want to, say, build this deck with some spicier cards... Slothy, where can they find this?
If you're looking to beef this deck up a little bit, you can go over to Abyss Proxy Shop and use code IT99 to get 15% off. Really phenomenal proxies. You've got some really nice artwork, really nice feel to them. I've mentioned it before, but the Inosuke skin of Raga Drug is one of my favorite cards ever.
You heard it here, folks. AbyssProxyShops.com? Right? .com?
Yes.
AbyssProxyShop.com. IT99 for 15% off. I almost said 50% on the stream yesterday, and I was like, I have to reiterate that. 15. What do you mean I'm not getting 50? But if you guys want to go again above and beyond and want to help support the show and us creating content, please check out YouTube and Patreon. You can sign up to become a member or a patron. You get lots of different perks. One of them is coming in live listening, early access, and soon we're hopefully going to be launching maybe a Snapchat. Get a little bit closer to us and engage. But other than that, we hope that you have a great holiday season. And if you need anything to help pass the time and relax over your holidays, intothe99.com has all of your favorite content by us. Watch it, read it, view it, listen to it. I think I hit everything.
If you really, really, really want to watch Brian get his butt kicked in on stream or in game, there are a bunch of videos out during his birthday bash.
Yeah.
Where Brian's like, I did nothing to you, Sherman. And I'm like, you literally took half my life.
Yeah.
Those were some good games, actually. Those were some good games. And with that, guys, thank you again, and all of the best coming into the new year and the Christmas season. Peace, guys.
See ya.
Take care. Laters.